Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, let me describe the scenario for you.
Okay.
You're working.
Okay.
Still have a kid or kids at home.
Okay.
Got a parent who's aging and needs help.
Check. It's coming.
Wow. That's a full plate.
That's a sandwich.
Yeah, that's a sandwich. It's a reality for a lot of people, though, right? So this notion of elder care, our healthcare system's ability to deal with this aging demographic, all the guilt and emotions we feel around helping, taking care of family, all of those things create a really complicated scenario. We've got Liz O'Donnell joining us today. She's the founder of WorkingDaughter.com. She's also the author of Working Daughter, A Guide to Caring for Your Aging Parents While Earning a Living. Now, I think the facts would bear out the case that it is often the women who are contributing more in this particular case than the men are, so having a larger or a disproportionate impact on them at this particular time. However, that's a general statement. Liz, I want to welcome you to the show, and maybe let's start with this scenario that I laid out at the top of the top of the segment. How accurate am I? How many people are suffering from this? And then we'll get to what the heck are we going to do about it?
Yo, you're so accurate. I've been there. There are about 44 million family caregivers. Mm-hmm. The number's only going to grow because the AARP is predicting a shortage of paid caregivers. And of course, we see 10,000 people turning 65 every day with the aging of the baby boomers. So more and more family members are going to be called on to support our aging population. And as far as how many are in the scenario that you just described, yep. I'd say close to 30 million who are working outside the home, and the average caregiver is indeed a woman, and she has a parent over the age of 65. She has a child, at least one child under the age of 18, and she does work.
So just for our listeners, 30 million from the United States, that's where we're getting all of our data from. If you were to kind of put a similar type of percentage in Canada, it's about 10%.
Yeah, so call it 3 million, right? It's a big number. And we all know people, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, my brother and I would put ourselves in that category. In fact, I put my brother more in that category than me, mm-hmm. closer with my mom. My mom has Alzheimer's, Liz, and is in a long-term care facility. So I understand personally sort of the effect of what this can do on both men and women, but disproportionately, we know that women are struggling with the weight of this more than the guys are. So tell us a little bit about the issues that caring for an elder, aside from the obvious, like what's the experience somebody is going to have if you run into this scenario?
Yeah, and I'd be remiss first if I didn't say that the statistics in the U.S. are that of those 44 million, 40% are men. So it's not a huge gap, but it's certainly majority women.
Yeah.
And I think I saw similar statistics for Canada.
Yeah.
So we do need to acknowledge the men. I tend to focus on women because I think they have a unique scenario that they're facing, to answer your question, which is most likely their elder care experience is going to be compounded by their child care. Maybe they already took time off of work. Maybe they're not earning what a male might be earning because they took time off at work, or for whatever reasons that is. They might have been put on the mom track. So they've got this unique experience, and they've got this pressure to stay at work because, as I said, the average caregiver is in her late 40s. That's not a great time to step out of work. The prospects mm-hmm. for coming back to work, you know, at the age of 50 as a woman, sadly just aren't good. So what she's facing this incredible pull between her children, the family that you chose to have, that you made space to have. So your life is a little bit set up to manage, you know, your immediate family. She's facing pressure at work. She might think that she's the only one who's going through this. She's actually not, but it's invisible. We don't talk a lot about elder care at work. We talk about caring for people who are parents versus caring for people who have parents. And then she feels so much guilt over not doing enough for the elder parent, but that's misplaced guilt because there just aren't enough structures to support her.
Mm-hmm. I am curious. I have no idea if there's data that supports this. And so if that is your answer, that's acceptable. But, I think about the conversation my brother and I had recently. And my mom's dementia or Alzheimer's is progressing, obviously. And as it progresses, of course, you face different things. And so my brother is in a situation now where he is caring for my mother in a way that, is obviously more than what you would expect a child-parent relationship to be. And it has an impact on them. Emotionally, it has an impact on them. And we talk about this. And I guess we're in a fortunate position here. I'm getting to my question, Liz. But we're in a fortunate position that my mom and dad saved enough. They did okay. And so there is money to support my mom and her care. But I said to my brother, I said, you know, his name is Mike. I said, Mike, I don't want your experience with mom as she ages to be what you're experiencing right now. We need to bring in some help to the extent that I said, I'm happy if we spend her entire estate making sure she gets proper care, but that you aren't put in a position where emotionally, you know, you're faced with that. Now, there's all kinds of emotional challenges and guilt and so attached to that. But I'm curious if you know, Liz, if that, you know, is that part of the solution? If money's available, does it get used in that way? Or are there other complicating factors, particularly with women, that put them in a position where they take on that care, invest the time and the emotional anguish that they have versus perhaps bringing in help?
The scenario I see a lot most of the time is that there isn't the money for outside care because it is so, so expensive. But the conversation you're having with your brother rings true. I hear this from so many people, and I've been through, I was a dementia caregiver as well. It's a whole different level of care because it is so emotional for you and obviously the person with the dementia. But I hear that conversation a lot. Like, look, I'm not looking for inheritance. I would just spend every dime to take care of mom and dad and to take care of myself, quite frankly. And the other thing that I think it's great that you and your brother Mike are talking about, and this comes up all the time too, is when you become caregiver to your parents, especially when there's such an emotional angle to it, how do you have the time to be their child? And you want to continue to be their adult child, not just be the person who's scheduling appointments and checking meds and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And you can see the, I see the anger. We talk it openly about it, which is really good because I think there would be a lot of people maybe that keep that inside and that's a destructive, that'd be a destructive behavior. But it's, I was going to say it's an interesting journey. I'm not sure maybe interesting describes it properly because there's a whole bunch of complexities, emotional, financial, everything else wrapped up in it. Faisal, you...
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes left, Liz. Just there are people that are listening to this show right now will have to make the decision to take care of their parents or parent. Mm-hmm. And they have to have a conversation with their employer. And then they have to figure out... you know, what do they have to do? What's their real roles and responsibilities as their parent ages and goes through these types of issues? So Liz, maybe you can give us some ideas or some tips on what kind of conversation, how do we handle a conversation with our employer? And number two, you know, what in the situation, give us some tips on how they can handle it.
I think you said the most important thing already. You said there are people who are going to make the decision, and that is key. There's research that shows people who feel like they've chosen caregiving as opposed to, you know, forced into caregiving or backed into a corner, whatever it might be, tend to go through the experience in a much more healthy way. So I think that's the number one thing, acceptance and saying, I choose this. It's going to be hard, but this is what I'm going to do. From the employer perspective, what I counsel people is to read the environment. Ideally, you're going to talk to your employer and say, look, I have this going on at home. How can we make sure that I'm always backed up so that I never leave work, clients, whoever, you know, coworkers in a lurch? So, you know, can we have a CC on every email I sent to a client? I'm going to make sure I save things not just to my hard drive, but to the server, that sort of thing. You know, understand that in the middle of this meeting, I have my phone out for a reason because the nursing home might call. I'll step out. I'll be discreet, but, I will have to take this call. I think if we're in a situation where we can say all of those things, then we're so much better off. But sometimes there is a stigma attached to flexibility and caregiving. So I wouldn't say that that's blanket advice for everybody. Read the scenario and you know, do your best to determine what the feedback is going to be.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. It's a complicated situation. We can't do it justice in 10 minutes, but Liz, I want to thank you for joining us and raising awareness. We have to continue to have this conversation because there are just so many families that are currently impacted by this and will continue to be impacted. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Been joined by Liz O'Donnell. She's the founder of WorkingDaughter.com and author of Working Daughter, A Guide to Caring for Aging Parents While Earning a Living. Now, we're going to be talking about the journey of retirement. In many cases, many families are touched by the healthcare bucket. And how do we provide, protect, ensure a quality of care, quality of lifestyle all through that journey.
That's right. I'll be on Tuesday, June 4th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seat, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
What's the right age to retire? Stick around. We're going to talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.